I'm Richard Tressida, and...
I'm Oliver Young.
Some of you know me and some of you don't. Some of you sort of remember the stuff that I used to do, and you might find it quite strange tonight because you know that I hate technology and technology hates me, so it's bound to go wrong this evening. But what I want to do is to talk to you about some of the things that we're actually doing. So luckily, myself and Ollie managed to get a grant of about £120,000 to buy some kit. And we've had some of you try the kit out tonight. So what we're going to do today is just to have a quick look at the stuff and then to be able to sort of show you some of the results we've got from the people who had a go at it later. As you know, my background is a little bit weird in hospitality. So, you know, I'm a social anthropologist who teaches marketing. You say, what the hell do you do that for? But if you think about it, marketing is all about trying to change people's behaviour, understand how they find meaning within the marketing, what they're actually looking for. So if you look at our little research group, so I do some research around marketing and sort of writing marketing. We've also got Ollie's work, who's looking at about how people use things like iPads and how we can use different platforms in terms of technology. There's a number of us that are interested in about the design of hotels and the design of restaurants, about how people actually negotiate and wander around these places. We sort of take it as understood about how people walk around. So what happens is all of your customers negotiate different spaces, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a bar, or whether it's hospitality. And my own little thing is the interest in semiotics, which is the idea of the types of words and images we use in marketing. But what happens is that a lot of the stuff that we do, we make assumptions about how you as customers, how you as managers, basically design and operate and work within different environments. So luckily enough, what we've tried to do is to take our theoretical knowledge and to try to understand through the customer's eyes the type of experiences and interactions they're having. What we've managed to do is to buy this stuff called eye tracking. Okay, and we've got two different types. The first one, which some of you tried tonight, is a fixed station. So what happens is you can sit in front of a computer screen, and what it does is it tracks your eyes. It sees where you find things that are interesting. It sees where you focus. So the example we've used tonight is a menu, and to see where people focus on menus. Last week, we did a presentation to Marriott, and it was looking about how people negotiated the Marriott website. And what we did was ask European director of Marriott to find a hotel in Paris for under £300. Now, normally three clicks and we start to move away from that. People were going into five or six clicks, and about 80% of the people that we tried this on went directly to price comparison sites. So for them, it was much easier to find a hotel in Paris through a comparison site than actually using the Marriott site. So if you think you've got a large multinational corporation like Marriott, and to think about how much they're spending on marketing and promotion, but in fact what's happening, they're going to have to spend 18, 15, 25% of their income to pay the sites, to pay the comparison sites. So it's really important that we think and understand about how you as customers, how our customers read our websites, about how they negotiate them, how they read our menus. So the fixed stuff basically means that we can put websites on, marketing materials, menus, pictures, and we can find significance about how the customers fix on particular things, the things they don't look at, and the things that they actually find interesting. We can also measure, through the eye tracking, pupil dilation. And what that does is basically tells you whether you're finding something interesting or not. So apart from fixating on something, we can also see how much you're actually enjoying it. Okay, so that's one. The second one, which is even more exciting, is the eye-tracking goggles. Unfortunately, the new ones haven't arrived yet. But the eye-tracking goggles basically look just like normal glasses. The ones I'm going to show you in here in a minute are quite old. So what it means is that you could put a customer into your hotel and ask them to find something or how they negotiate it. And they can wear the goggles and you can see what they're looking at. And inside the goggles, it has three different cameras that's measuring all of these different types of things. So it was a really interesting piece of research. There was a big hotel in New York. And what happened is they had all these concessionary shops as you went through on the left and right-hand side. But customers weren't going to them. They couldn't figure out why. So what they did was to use the goggles, and they actually found out that as you walk through the main entrance of the hotel, there was a really beautiful chandelier sitting right in front of you. So what happens was people were actually fixating on the chandelier, missing all of the signs and all the directions and the shops, and going straight into the hotel. So it gives you that type of understanding exactly what your customer is basically looking at. What we've got to think about is the type of data that that can give us in terms of hospitality. If you think about how people are negotiating things like restaurants or hotels, to think about how people read spreadsheets, to think about which data they pick off of that. You can also think about things like all of the stuff around design, but also for me, what is really interesting is marketing. So the type of data that we get from this, these are called heat maps, okay? So what happened is that if you look at the advert on the right-hand side, where it's red is where most people focused for the longest amount of time. Now, what happens is that we're drawn to babies' eyes. And so if you look at Mickey Mouse has baby's eyes. It's something that draws us in. So what happens is everybody was focusing on that baby's eyes. Now, what happened is where you see the thin green, people weren't actually reading the marketing message. Okay, because what they were doing was spending all the time looking at the baby's pretty face. Now, what happens is by turning the baby around a little bit, you haven't got the front eyes all the time. So what's happening is there's still a concentration on the eyes, but also, if you look, they're also reading the marketing message. So just little changes in the way you do that alters the way in which we read, understand, and comprehend adverts. So if you're thinking about hospitality marketing, about the images and the order that you put things, it's about understanding this type of data. The stuff below is that we can actually chart where people look. So what happens is each of these numbers is the point and the order of things that they've looked at. So what happens, you will find that people go back to points, and we can actually chart where people... So if you look, the very first one of this one was on the guy's head. That's where people started off. They didn't go to any of the menus or anything like that. So the first point they're interested in, the first point you're trying to get their interest in was that guy's face. Okay. So in terms of hospitality, we're looking at lots of different usages. There's some really interesting stuff. If you look at the big picture at the bottom, it's about bar design. So what they've done is they've put goggles on people and then asked them as they've walked into the bar just to go and order their drinks. Now, what happens is that we can see where the focus is. So if you look above that, which is like a shelf, there are certain points which are like prime points where people will look at. So if you're trying to sell a particular product, you know, as you're walking in the bar, the fixation point is right in front of it. So if you're trying to put some sort of service on or some sort of promotion, then what you've got is that type of focus. So the one at the top, again, is that idea of the chandelier. It's about distracting people from the things you're trying to sell. We've done a little bit of research just tonight about menus and just to look at the different ways in which people sort of operate and work around menus. So what we want to do is to sort of show you the type of data that we've managed to gather tonight. It's not research. We haven't done it properly. But what we're doing is demonstrating. There's some interesting stuff come out. So when we're actually looking at the industry usage, we can break the data down into gender, ethnicity, age groups, so we can find how different people look at different things. So what happens is that if you see these other little dots around, on this one on the left-hand side, they're different fixation points. The bigger the fixation point is the longer the person actually spends on that particular place. There's some really interesting stuff with gender. And there was a Parry advert, wasn't it, Ollie, which was really good. Like the males, there was a woman sat on a bench with Perrier on the table down there. And what happened is that the males went to the chest first, then to the face, back to the chest, and then from the chest down her arm to the bottle of Perrier. And it's like all of this research. So what happens for the men? Sex sells. You know, they're focusing straight on it. The women's one, when they were looking at that gender split, is the women were firstly looking at her face, then it went to her chest, then it went to her handbag, then it went to her mobile phone, then it went to the waiter in the background, and then back to the woman's chest again, which is strange, down her arm to the Perrier. So what it's doing is sort of telling you this story about how we, actually read these things. Every time you move your eye, it's like 1/80th of a second. We don't understand that. And what this does is really capture exactly how people are reading and understanding and the things they're finding interested on. So I've speeded up a little bit tonight to do it quickly so we can look at the data, some of the data that we generated from you lot tonight. So I hand over to Ollie now.
As Richard said, we used you guys as guinea pigs for this little trial. And here we've divided them by gender because it was quite an easy operation to do rather than trying to get other demographic data. So here, just looking at the gents here, I'm sure Kevin won't mind me picking on him as the first target. So here is the actual recording of what Kevin was looking at during the course of the 2.5 minutes of this trial.
This is quite interesting because most people only read three words. You guess the rest of them. Kevin's quite methodical in looking at all the different words.
And you can see the different sizes there. The different size in those red dots was how long they actually spent looking at that particular part of the menu.
So you think it's quite a clear menu, this, isn't it? You know, it doesn't have an awful lot of sort of ornamentation on it. So he's got sort of quite methodical sort of going down as he sort of goes through it. But what's interesting on some of the other menu stuff that we've seen is, like, for example, some of the pictures on the side completely distract people. And what happens is they don't actually engage with the menu at all. And also it's about how much information you're actually putting on it.
So now we've got the group. We've got everybody under the male category kind of plotted on that menu there. Equally, you can look at different heat signatures. So this one here identifies the things that the participants haven't looked at. So the areas that are actually black, there was no concentration on those areas at all. And then once again, just like in the images that Richard showed before, you can also see the heat map as a collective. But equally, you can deselect the participants and look at them individually. So I could just pick on anybody randomly and see what they've done. So here we can see there's quite a strong focus on the left-hand side.
You know, so it's very much sort of that sort of focus. But what's interesting is really to start looking, especially on advertisements, you know, like banners that come down the side of web pages. We ignore them. If you were looking at it in terms of that black and white, most of the time it's black. We've actually trained ourselves not to look at them. So what we're trying to do then, so the way we've only just got this technology, so we're just starting to set up projects now. So the first one is we're hoping to do some work with Marriott, and we were talking about they were very interested to look at how prospective employees negotiated their web pages, about how whether they were getting the messages across, whether they could find the things that they wanted. They were also interested in terms of hotel design to think about how people negotiated spaces. There's a couple of things that I'm sort of interested in. I think it'd be really interesting, I know Ollie doesn't agree with this, was to actually look at the way in which people read spreadsheets, middle managers, about what information do they actually focus on? Are we giving too much information, which means that they actually can't see the things that we want them to read? It's thinking about those types of things. So we're looking at lots of sort of applications about the use of apps, to think about how you use apps for booking and for marketing, to think about the different sort of platforms that you actually need. So, for example, it needs to be different for a phone than it does for an iPad, than it does from a computer. So it's trying to think about this. Also, it's thinking about how the different demographic groups engage with this type of stuff. So it's thinking about you having enough information to be able to start to tailor products, to start tailoring the idea of marketing, especially as we're going into Web3, it means that we can start providing and having a really good understanding of the things that people find interesting, the things they focus on, and the things that they don't focus on. Yeah? Okay, that's good. Is there any questions? Can any of you see an application for this type of stuff in the environment in which you're working? Yeah. And I think that also is things like, if you think about hotel design, I would really like to do a piece of research where we actually looked at diners in restaurants and to see the things that they were actually looking at. We make assumption about the decor, about sort of views, but it'd be really interesting to look at that. And then if you looked at the same in something like the chef's table, is to then think about how the experience actually differs. But to say what we can do is generate lots and lots of empirical data about sort of really in depth.
Do you think that people might change how they view things if they know if they've got something on?
I think it's
how much do you think that might affect?
I think that if you've got a large enough sample, then you can sometimes get around that. And I think that some of the research done, like the goggles, the goggles don't look anything like that anymore. The ones that we've got just look like normal glasses. And they were saying sort of after the first 5 or 10 minutes, you actually forget about it. There's some really interesting stuff about people in supermarkets. and about you know how people choose things in supermarkets and how they get distracted by offers and stuff like that. And I think after the first few minutes, you get used to it. But you think you need to have a big enough sample. I know Claire was saying you felt quite conscious that you were making sure that you actually read that menu very, very sort of methodically. And what's great with that, if you were working in a hotel and you were looking at hotel design, is you can actually see it live on your computer screen as people are walking around. And then you can sort of break down and then do the analysis later. So you can actually see what people are looking at. Yeah. Any other questions?
Would you say that colour has a massive effect? So if a menu was colourful or something like that, because it was proven, reading it in research, that it's saying like the reason why McDonald's is yellow and red is to do with hunger.
Yes.
Would you say that colour also has a big impact as well as pictures and things?
I think what it does is it changes, you know, like the idea of service scapes or scentscapes, is that the use of colours really does change how people perceive things. You can show something in one context and it'll change completely for another. A really good example, it's nothing to do with colour, is if I've got like a cream cake, okay, and I put that picture of a cream cake in a cooking magazine, it's Yum Yum. If I put that same picture in a diet magazine, it suddenly becomes Satan's food. And it's the same with other stuff. If you put sort of images and pictures in different colours and different settings, then the meanings also change for the people that are looking at it. It's also interesting, I would say that because I'm quite sad, but if you look in sort of hospitality marketing, is that you always see an empty table. You know, so when you're trying to sell somebody a fine dining experience, you have this empty table. And we have it empty because we feel that if we had other people there, we would judge ourselves against them. It sort of would sort of stop us from really thinking that we could be sitting at that table. If you do that in China, people think that the place is really not very popular. So you need to make sure within this stuff that there is real cultural differences in the way that we understand how we market hospitality and services and experiences, especially about how you represent females and males within the marketing. I don't think I really answers your question, but yes, you're right. Anybody else? So I will hand over, but I say we're just starting with this, so we're looking to try and expand this and to do some more experiments and to try and sort of generate some data and looking at different things. So if anybody has any interest or wants to have a chat about it, you know, please come and see either myself or Ollie. Okay, thanks everybody. Thank you.